Let's bring our guest analyst in. That's going to be Mr. Craig Milanos with the Wealth Management Group in Chicago. Craig, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, man, you're right. Happy Friday the 13th. And I don't know about you. I'm looking over my shoulder for Jason and Freddy Krueger, and I think I just found him at the price of 87 and 89 unleaded, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't like, speaking of scary stuff, I don't like scary movies. I refuse to pay $18 to go make somebody feel me uncomfortable. If you make me feel uncomfortable, I don't like that. And also, I'm an old man now, and I don't feel like paying $18 to go take a nap either. So that's what I think about.
That's a double problem. But hey, back in the day, Scott, when all those mid '80s terror flicks were $5 a pop, I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. You knew who was going to die. You knew how you was going to live. There was a set of rules, kind of like there used to be a set of rules for markets and inflation. And now I'm scratching my head, saying, wait. What's the playbook? I mean, if you saw yesterday's price action, I don't know that the headline data and the core data scared me yesterday, but right around that 1 o'clock hour when we had that 30-year bond auction that was absolutely terrible in terms of demand, that saw the yields on the long end pop 20 bips all of a sudden, I mean, that changed this market. Again, this is all about interest rates,
yep,
which is all about inflation, but I do think on the inflation data, if I can just dare to be financially nerdy for 30 seconds with you, a big part of it, unless I was misreading what came out yesterday, was the shelter.
And you're right,
I just
got
to think shelter is going to start coming down in the same way that used car prices are down for the fourth month in a row. Medical care services are down again. Shelter is going to start breaking. It's just a matter of when.
I agree, but the problem with that is that's when I think the whole thing comes undone. I agree with you. I think shelter's going to come down, but it's not going to come down like a feather. It's going to come down like a piece of lead. That's the problem. No one's moving their prices lower that are trying to sell their homes, and people that are, you know, have got a nice 3.25%, 3.5% interest rate really aren't rushing to go buy them. And so there needs to be a day of reckoning in the residential real estate market, I think. And I think the only thing that you can hold yourself out for, I mean, this is coming from somebody that owns two places, right? Then I know that they will both go down in price significantly from what I'm talking about. But I'm willing to do that because I want to buy another one. But we have a situation where there's just nothing happening in that market. I mean, the Redfin CEO came out and said that only people that are moving now have to for work. So I think that that's not going to slowly come down. And I'm not sure, I mean, maybe it doesn't come down because, I mean, if rates go to 6.5%, does that make that mortgage that much more affordable to people? I don't know.
Well, I think even at 6.5, it's still a massive deterrent. I just know I don't want to be in the business of the dry cleaner. Everyone's casual. I certainly don't want to be in the business of ATM machines. And right now, if you make and distribute lockboxes or you put signs for sale in people's yard, the lack of inventory, it's bad business. It's as dry as it was prior to the Great Recession or during the depths of that.
Yeah.
At least we have foreclosures happening there.
Yeah, right.
Terrible off. But you're right, there is zero zilch inventory. I think the housing story is obviously a generational story. There's no doubt about that. But all I think we're doing is we're seeing some of the consumerism. I think the consumerism is shifting. I think we have an entire two generations of people because of the lack of affordability in housing who have made the determination that, you know what, we're not focused on stuff, a.k.a. getting the magnificent house. People are focused on experience. That's why travel and leisure, in part, is so hot, even at a younger age. I think the puck and what's important about money, the puck has just shifted on the ice, and people are redirecting their spending into other places, and it's clearly not just housing.
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that, too. I agree with you about that. You know, they've shifted, and now they love the experiences. But you know what? I think that's a sham, too. I agree with you 100% what you're saying. But the experience sham is this. If it was really an experience, they'd keep their phone in their pockets and they'd experience it. But now it's they've got their phone out and their phone experiences it. And that drives me absolutely bananas. You know, that's not experiencing, but maybe they think it is. But anyway, that was my little
No, it's okay. But Scott, celebrate like me. At least when I go to places, I don't have to worry about getting my eye poked out anymore. Because remember the selfie sticks?
Selfie sticks
10 years ago? Oh, my heavens.
Yes.
People were putting these out. It was like a 6-foot radius. If I wanted to go to the zoo to see the damn giraffe, I couldn't get anywhere near the thing. So I got 100 selfie sticks out there. I'm dodging them like I'm the Matrix. But if we go back to the investing, right? If we go back to investing, I just keep thinking about this. I really do believe for a lot of retirees and near retirees, as insane as this sounds, their ability to get retired and stay retired, even though we got the largest land war since World War II, we got the worst event in Israel since Yom Kippur a half century ago, these starting bond yields give people opportunities to generate income, the likes of which they haven't seen since 2005, 1995, or when Whitney Houston was singing I Want to Dance with Someone in 1987. So there's a tale of two stories for everybody, and if people really pay attention to what's important about money to them, I think there's some good stories playing on Friday the 13th, despite it.
You've got a nice positive spin on it. I agree with you. And, you know, I mean, $2 million is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making. But, you know, if you do happen to cobble together $2 million by the time you're 65 or 67, you could have bought the 30-year bond and given yourself a $100,000 a year income at 5%.
Right. Right. And when people say, why don't we do that with all of our money right now? The only thing that's playing in the back of our mind is experience. Everybody keeps checking the internet and saying, wait, is Jerome Powell in charge or is Paul Volcker in charge?
Right,
is Jerome Powell in charge or Paul Volcker in charge? Because locking in rates today is fantastic. But if we lock in rates today, and Rick Santelli, who talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Did you see that? Did you see that?
Deadline.
No, because he was talking. Wasn't he talking the 10-year to 13%? Did I see that right?
He said the 10-year at 13%. And listen, I pay attention to when Rick talks. Now, in the same.
I know Rick. Yeah.
I'm sure you do. I kind of scoffed at it. You know, I mean, that's how you get headlines. That's how you get press. That's how you get YouTube hits, where I saw that on X, formerly known as Twitter. But, yeah, it's tough because you don't want to commit everything right now. You want to have flexibility on the curve just in case. Right. Never say never, right?
Awesome stuff. That's where the bond ladders come back in. That'll be next week. All right. Thanks for coming on. Craig Bolanos, have a great weekend. He's with the Wealth Management Group out of Chicago. We're going to go away. We're going to take a quick break. Going to come back and talk more after this.